This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:14, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So earlier this year, Pusat Komas published the Malaysia Racial Discrimination Report 2021. So we're running through the results tonight. We are going to be joined by Ryan Chua, Program Director of Pusat Komas, very shortly, but just some highlights to look at. So according to the report, the number of incidents, racial incidents, more than doubled from 21 in 2020 to 53 last year. And if we look at some of the incidents, racial and religious politics are some of the highest. Racial and religious provocation as well ranks quite high on the list. The report also recorded 61 efforts to combat racism in Malaysia. So it is sort of a very comprehensive thing that breaks down notions of racism, how it happens, and some future directions in terms of how to handle it. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think racism is getting better or worse in Malaysia? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Ryan Chua, Program Director of Pusat Komas. Ryan, thanks for joining us today. Now, could you tell us about the objectives of this racial discrimination report?
Okay, so the Malaysia Racial Discrimination Report is an initiative by Pusat Komas to document and to keep record of the number of instances of racism, racial discrimination and xenophobia. So it's just an effort to capture the trends of racial discrimination in Malaysia. But, you know, I have to put a disclaimer here that it's not an exhaustive list of incidences of racism, racial discrimination and xenophobia. Yeah.
So briefly, before we get to the findings, can you walk us through the parameters of the report? What forms of racial discrimination does it encompass? What were the methods to track these incidents?
Right. So when we look at racism, racial discrimination and xenophobia, we need to understand the definition. Racial discrimination is based on the ICERT's definition. ICERT, it's called the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination. And racial discrimination means any distinction, exclusion, restriction, or preference based on race, color, descent, or national or ethnic origin, which has the purpose or effect of nullifying or impairing the recognition, enjoyment, or exercise on an equal footing of human rights and fundamental freedoms for the political, economic, social, cultural, or any other field of public life. In looking at that as well, we also need to understand what then falls under racism. When we talk in terms of racism, you know, we need to understand that, you know, it's a construct. You know, there's no really generally universally accepted legal definition. For the purposes of this report, we use racism as a construct that assigns a certain race and or ethnic group to a position of power over the others. So it involves, you know, the basic of superiority of one race over the other. And lastly, xenophobia are behaviors specifically based on a perception that the other is foreign to or originates from outside of the community or the nation. So basically, this is when people from other national groups or nation, they are denied equal rights on account of real or perceived geographic origins of the said individuals and or their values and beliefs. So that's in an bit of how do you understand what racism, racial discrimination and xenophobia are. But for the purposes of this report, what we have done then is that we did a media monitoring. So it's an exploratory observation of the media reporting on issues of race and religion. So any instances of racial discrimination or xenophobia, it was captured and compiled together. So it's, you know, we had the Chinese media, English media, the Malay media as well. So it's really based on media reporting at this point of time.
So if we look at the breakdown of the findings, racial and religious politics really make up the biggest portion of total incidents, coming in at 28%. What can you tell us about the specifics of the type of racial rhetoric that was most prominent?
When we talk in terms of race and religion, especially in terms of politics, right, this is more prominent, especially when it's nearer the election. You have political parties themselves trying to position and to put themselves as the champion of their own specific ethnic group. This is in terms of policy. That's one of the areas that we have found. For example, our Prime Minister suddenly introduced new Bumiputra policies. You know, one is that, you know, the selling of Bumiputra assets only to the Bumiputras and much more. So Of course, he claims that this is in line with Article 153 of the Federal Constitution. But then we need to be very clear that Article 153 has four areas which covers special allocation in the civil service, special allocation for scholarships and certain contracts, and in the education sector as well, quota systems for that. But of course, political parties and politicians themselves will propagate that and bring it to a bigger context like what we have seen. So I have to make a very clear statement here that we do not cover all religious discrimination. If it's pertaining to religious matters, anything which infringes the rights of the non-Muslims or the people of other ethnic origins, then it falls under this. Yep.
The report also detailed social media monitoring of racial politics during the Melaka state election. Tell us more about this.
All right, so this is a special edition that we have done together with NVGIG, the company that assisted us in monitoring the social media responses and communication during the Melaka election. So what we have identified was, you know, there were high numbers of use of racial and religious politics in there. We monitored special keywords like vernacular schools, Bumi, Bumi Putra, special rights, and then we also put in the political party's name. So what's interesting is that, you know, when it comes to race-based policies or matters pertaining to race and religion, it receives the highest impact factor, meaning that, you know, there are a high number of people talking about the topic and also people responding to those topics. So they will have like comments back and forth. So there are three key areas that we have found: COVID-19 concerns, party hopping, and race and religion. But race and religion topic itself has the highest amount of engagement as compared to the other areas. When it comes to matters pertaining to race and religion, you can see people responding to one another, starting to fight with one another. And in our report, you know, really, we have found that, you know, Barisan Nasional, to a certain extent, or UMNO, at that point of time during the Melaka elections, use and focuses a lot in terms of race-based policies. The opposition, like Harapan, who are pandering more towards promoting Malaysia for all Malaysians and much more. So the use of race and religion has been one of the key focal points in the Melaka state elections.
So racial discrimination in the business sector was a new addition. Why was it important to include this particular category?
So this is in terms of the business sector. So this is something that has only transpired recently, of course, with the introduction of new policies, specifically like the Bumiputra equity and much more. Again, we have to be fair as well. You know, of course, government has also introduced certain policies in the pretext of safeguarding the rights of certain ethnic groups. But there are also other groups of ethnic origins who are being discriminated. So this is specifically, you know, targeted in the business sectors themselves. For example, when we have complaints of people not able to practice their religious practices, like for example, wearing the headscarves for the Malay Muslims, you know, all those would fall under the business sector. So then after that, you have the Bumi Putras. We'll only be able to buy Bumi firms. And of course, you know, the introduction of the 51% Bumi Putra rule and freight forwarding and much more. So all this raises question because it impacts business sectors.
Overall, has the trajectory of racial incidents increased from past years?
All right, so I have to be very clear with this. You know, it's a media monitoring. So the number of instances or reports identified are all based on the number of news which covers racism, racial discrimination, and xenophobia. So of course, when we look at the comparison, there is actually a sharp increase from 2020 to 2021. We have to make it very clear that in 2020, most of us are locked down at home. There are no avenues for people to express their dissatisfaction. And don't forget that parliament is also closed at that point of time. All other elections are also all stopped. So at that point of time, there is really limited number of cases. But of course, in 2021, we have an opening of almost all sectors. And then you also have by-elections happening and much more. So in that sense, you know, we have an increase of number of incidences reported. But again, it fluctuates, and of course, it becomes more heated nearer the elections. In 2018, it actually has the highest number of cases over the 7 years because it was a general election.
So talk to us also about the recorded efforts to combat racial discrimination.
All right, so when we look in terms of efforts, we've identified two areas. One is the initiatives to promote or to combat incidences of racism, racial discrimination, and the others. And the other one is people speaking out against or condemning such actions. There are numerous efforts, and I think, you know, the government at one hand has also introduced several initiatives like the National Unity Blueprint or the Malaysian Family Framework of National Unity. Then we also have groups of people who, when they see people, you know, expressing racism, xenophobia, you know, they spoke out against it and they took relevant actions against it. So for example, in Awesome Canteen, if I'm not mistaken, they actually received a message by one of the clients saying that they feel quite uncomfortable with some of the workers who are of a different ethnic group. And Awesome Canteen came out with a really good response saying that we respect the rights of all their workers, regardless of their race and religion. And they say that they accept anyone who works in their area. So this is something which is applaudable. These are some of the two trends that we've identified in the efforts in 2021.
In your opinion, have these measures been adequate or effective?
Okay, when we speak in terms of initiatives, a lot of them we have yet to see is implementation. We have a National Unity Blueprint. We have a National Unity Action Plan. We have yet to see any fruits of its labor. In fact, from what we have heard recently, you know, they are still fine-tuning the blueprint. You know, we have politicians themselves or even people from the federal government contradicting themselves from what they have spoken from the National Unity Blueprint. So take, for example, the Malaysian Family Action Plan. You know, we are here to promote a more inclusive country for all Malaysians. You know, everyone will be accepted and be treated as a Malaysian family. And at the very next moment, you can see the budget allocations. There's a big difference in terms of allocation for all ethnic groups. There's a specific focus for the Bumiputras. So they need to practice what they preach. Secondly, of course, in terms of people speaking out, in fact, Malaysians today are becoming more equipped with the ability of fighting for the principle of equality. And I think that's something which is really commendable at the bottom heart of every Malaysian. We want a Malaysia that is fair and equal to everyone.
So the report also shows that there are political or public figures who have been contradictory in their statements, saying things that are discriminatory while at the same time talking about unity. What are the ramifications of this?
I think, we can see in the comments, you know, when we go and check social media and people questioning, didn't you speak about Keluarga Malaysia at one stage and then the next moment you introduce a new policy which is racially biased, religiously biased and all that kind of stuff. The ramifications in all of this is really, people won't take the government seriously in terms of efforts to promote national unity because we feel that, this looks and feels like lip service. It creates dissatisfaction among people saying, look, this person cannot be trusted. And I think this is where we are a bit concerned. Sometimes I pity the government and the civil service as well. They want to implement something that fosters national unity and the next moment they got held back because of statements by the political parties and the political leaders themselves. So they can be a little bit like, okay, so which direction should I follow? Should I do this way or do follow your way? You know, to really address the issue, you need a clear policy. You need a clear messaging from the political leaders because they hold the position of power. They have the power to influence. By this point of time, we don't see any political will from any of them.
And does COMAS have recommendations moving forward?
So we have came up with a few recommendations. Of course, we have tried to approach the federal government, even the Ministry of Unity, to have a consultation and to see what are some of the ways that we can do to work together. Unfortunately, until today, we have not gotten a chance to meet any of them. Of course, we were able to meet the National Unity Department and Integration, but Ministry of Unity has not met any of us. So this is something which is troubling. Of course, we will continue our efforts to continue talking to them. The second recommendation that we have is really for the people to take heed. Do we condone to leaders who continue to play by the race or religious card? But we hope that, you know, even in the next election, we have to put our political parties accountable to whatever they have said. I hope the people will be able to see beyond the ethnic game that they are playing and to really understand that this is actually a class division because all Malaysians themselves, we agree that we want to be united.
Ryan, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Ryan Chua, Program Director of Pusat Komas, speaking to us about the Malaysia Racial Discrimination Report of 2021. Do send your thoughts our way. That number to WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.